graduated from Lamar High School in 52, North Carolina State in 56, with a degree in electrical engineering, heavily recruited, I chose sun, sand, and sea and worked for Florida Power and Light Company for 37 years. I retired in 1993 as a division construction manager in Broward County, where I was in charge of all overhead and underground distribution construction in that county. Since then, my wife was a teacher. She was also from Lamar. She passed away in 2012, and shortly after that, sold my house in Florida and moved permanently back to North Carolina. I have been a member of a number of boards and whatnot over my career. I served on the board, planning board for 7 years, 8 years, and then I've been on the county board. Now this is my fourth year, I believe, that I'm into. All my family is in Florida. So when my son builds it, he's going to move up here. So we should sit with that.
I'm going to follow that. My name's Rick Lassiter. I live in the Little River community. I'm retired from the state. Been on the city planning board and the city board of Jeff for 12 years on these. Been on this planning board less than a year. Thank you.
John Wayne Parson, from Wilkes County, living in city state as well. Soon as I graduated, this is where my wife and I both chose to live. It's the only place I've ever lived as an independent adult. I definitely consider Brevard and Pennsylvania County home for me. And I've been on this board. Was really excited about getting on and helping out from the community and getting back. And I've been on, I guess, about a year.
Hi, I'm Karen Gleason. I'm the newest member of the board. This is my first board meeting, Friday night, first board meeting. I've been in Champlain County now for 10 years, after retiring from Dell Computers, where I was a engineering manager. I had a degree in chemical engineering, not electrical, but chemical engineering. I worked at Dell. I worked at Ethan Kodak, where we did things very similar to what DuPont did. In fact, Kodak licensed a lot of DuPont technology for part of our process. So, very familiar with DuPont work. So, I've been in a number of boards now, currently on the PBS board, which I'm loving, and I'm on the board of Brevard College Business Institute, so I help with business institutions. The best board in the county, I'm told.
You'll see it is.
I know.
I'm Bob Dewey. I'm a mountain boy. I was born and raised over in Nashville. Had early ties back to Transylvania County. My parents bring me over here when I wasn't any higher than this table. So I've been familiar with the county for years. Graduated from high school in 73. Went to Florida College back when it was junior school, 73 to 75 on a soccer scholarship. Transferred to state, finished up. Joined NRCS December 1977, stayed with them for 7.5 years. The last 28 years was the District Conservation for this county, and 5 of those years as the DC over in Harrison County. Retired in November 2012, and the Forest Service, I think I retired 32 days later, and I've been there for more than 7 years. So time flies. Wonderful privilege of being in this magnificent, beautiful place and trying to help people protect it, conserve it, not necessarily preserve it, but conserve it and use resources wisely has been an honor and privilege. I've been on this board, I guess, about 2 years in company, and just trying to make a good contribution.
My name is Lauren Wise. I moved to Asheville in 1992. I did not go to state. I feel bad about that. I'm preparing everyone else to go to state. But I did go to UNCC for architecture school and Warren Wilson. And then I moved to Brevard about 10 years ago and love it. I'm an architect and have been on the board for 4 or 5 years.
It's 3. I'm not sure you're starting.
It's 4, yeah. I think it's been 4 because I stepped in early, so whatever that will do. And I think I agree with Bob, this is a really well-working, well-functioning board, deciding the team. So that's about it for me.
I think Lauren ought to remove his mask momentarily so we can see his magnificent
beard. Look at that.
Really
good.
Oh,
yeah. And you can talk to my wife, she will not let me stay.
Okay, now we start the exciting part. We need to elect a chair and a vice chair. So the floor is open for nominations of the chair.
Mr. Chair. Person, I would like to nominate Kenzie Jackson for chair.
Second.
Any other nominations? I reluctantly close the nominations. And ask that if you want me to be chair, you say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Now we're open for vice chair.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to nominate Warren Wise to be the vice chair.
All right, any other nominations? Is there a second? I forgot to ask that. I'll be second. All right, all in favor, please say aye.
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 And I'll have the man have a chair and a vice chair. Next is subdivision approvals and updates. Who's going to do it? Darby?
Over the past multiple months, we have had a total of 26 recombinations of lots. We had 2 greater than 10 acre lots, but we have had 5 family subdivisions, 20 changing of boundary lines, 10 2-lot subdivisions, 1 3-lot subdivision, a 6-lot subdivision, and then 1 review unit.
Yes, we've got a few updates I'd like to share with you from staff. In addition to the subdivision reviews, we had a little turnover that we wanted to share with you. Our planning director, Jason Stewart, resigned on Monday.
Yes.
And so with that vacancy, I have appointed Alan McNeil, our interim, and he will be helping the department through the interim period, but we are also not only moving floodplain over to building services, which it has previously been administered through building services before, but Kate Mays is also going to be assisting as well and chief of the audience. So we feel like we've got a great team ready to help bridge the interim, and then we will be looking to fill that vacancy so that we have stability in the planning department moving forward.
Yes, and my haste, I forgot to let Beth introduce herself.
I'm Beth Webb. I am the program support assistant for, I think that's recently changed, administrative support specialist. I've been here a little over a year. I moved up here a little over a year ago, so I'm a transplant to Transylvania County, but I'm not a fit in North Carolina for about 30 plus years. So.
And Darby?
I am the recent new county planner. I was hired in January. I have been in Western North Carolina for a little over 6 years. I am a graduate of Western Carolina University, both undergrad and through a Master's of Public Affairs. I look forward to being a staff person for you guys and can't wait to see what we can do.
Okay, Alan, how about tell us a little bit about yourself?
Thanks, sir.
I'm Al McNeil. I had the great fortune of getting to grow up here in Brevard and love that experience. I, like Darby, attended Western Carolina University, where I received a bachelor's degree in political science and a master's degree in public affairs. I have some experience in planning, so I'm not entirely new to this. I worked as a planner in Henderson County for 2 years before coming to Transylvania to fill the role of the budget management analyst. And prior to working for Henderson County, I was a right-of-way into the North Carolina Department of Transportation in Division 14, which is the 14 most western counties in North Carolina. So I've gotten very familiar with Western North Carolina planning during those 5 years, and I'm really excited to get to serve in this role and get to assist this board. I really look forward to meeting with each of you and getting to know you, and as long as I'm here, I promise I will do my best to serve the county to the best of my abilities. Thank you for allowing me this opportunity. Thank Jamie for allowing me this opportunity, and I can't wait to get to work with you guys.
And last but not least.
Well, almost last. I'm going to take everybody's first off after.
Tell us about yourself. And,
yeah, you
do. Rick and I have wondered, where did you go to school?
I went to NC State, too. So, undergrad and grad school. So, absolutely love the impact and love the serving a board that also has an affinity but I grew up in Henderson County next door. So I spent a lot of time growing up coming over here. My mom actually worked for the regional hospital, the community hospital at the time. And I have family in Transylvania, Henderson, and Polk. Pretty much if you Google Lauder, it's going to center right around these three counties. And so happy to be back home, even though I didn't live in North Carolina State. I've been in planning for 20 years. I've had my AICP, which is certification in planning, for 14 years. Also, how long I've been in management. So, enjoy this topic. It's one of my passionate areas. And so, happy to be working with you during this time. And, of course, love this team that we have on county staff that's willing to step in and help. Also, want to introduce Kate Hayes. She's with us with an NCACC fellowship. So, Kate, I'm going to ask you to find a microphone to get in here and to share a little bit about yourself.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, that's right, Cody. I'm Kate Hayes. I'm a local government management fellow with Transylvania County. It's a partnership through our North Carolina Association of Planning Commissioners. I'm originally from Hickory. Started school at UNC Asheville and finished at Appalachian for my master's in public administration. And I worked for the county for about a year and a half. Right before coming here, I worked for the Park Service in Virginia. And I'm happy to be able to come back and work a little bit more with the planning department.
Old business. Old business.
May I please ask you a question about the subdivision report? I see that that gets reported out every meeting, and I'm just wondering what I could be a research and listening for as they read out the subdivision report. Is there anything special we should be listening for?
It's really information only, just to make you aware of what kind of subdivisions are happening in the community. There are certain types of larger subdivisions that then come for you for review, but we like to report simply because it gives you an idea of what kind of activity we're seeing from a development standpoint.
Okay, thank you.
And you will note, of course, that this covers a period from the middle of December up until basically the present time. That was quite a number.
Yeah, normally I think it's about 10 or so, 8 to 10. That was the stuff that I can see, reading over your old notes. I recognize this is a very long list.
Mm-hmm. All right. One item we have listed is to go over this notice ordinance one more time. You should have received two copies of the noise ordinance. One is clean. The other one, of course, is one that has the strikeouts and the additions. And the one that is clean has taken all those things and put in one clean document. If does have, as you have hopefully noticed, some comments from Interior Eisenberg, who I believe is the third attorney that we have on this thing. I would ask you, if you've read this, want to make any further changes, additions, or deletions to that ordinance. I have read it completely. I did not personally find anything I was unhappy with. I don't think we ever got this to the commissioners, and we need to do that. What I call the clean copy, it still shows the changes that the attorney at the table suggested we make. Open for discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I looked over these changes based on the, this is a new attorney of the county chief. Let's look over this. It appears to be what you're trying to do is to just make this a little more enforceable and easy to be enforced by law enforcement with clarity and so forth. It's just when I take out the changes, I'm ready to return the cover and I'm going to go.
You're happy with it, basically?
Do what?
I say, are you happy with it, basically? Or suggesting we make a change?
I've read every one that came out with recommended changes, and those are shown on the clean copy, as I understand.
The clean copy is what we will be sending forward.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I have it reversed. So, yeah, the recommended changes. If the new attorney feels that these changes are necessary to make it as complete as possible, especially for law enforcement that may eventually have to follow up on complaints and so forth tomorrow. That was what we had law enforcement in here last year talking to this guy that they wanted to make sure that times without even changing the cross so that there was no ambiguity.
Well, what happened in the old section 3, the 3.4? Look in your phone here. Yeah, I'll copy. With the strikeouts, it's full section. What was section 3 is now section 4. So it would have been the old section 3.4. Now, page 5 is now.
Well, they took all that out.
You're talking about all of the attempted noises that we had in the original section 3?
No, it was originally under the noises prohibited in the old one, in the yellow copy.
Yeah, but we talked about that, and I can't remember what we did about it.
Well, there was a lot of it related to the definition of manufacturing, remember, and construction.
This is not that, this isn't that part. Look on 5 or 9 in the yellow and red part of it.
Yeah. I guess what she's saying is she says deleted the noise permitted language.
Well, it looks like she deleted the whole paragraph.
Yes, the whole paragraph. I honestly don't remember what we talked and said.
We left it in there. We left it here. I remember, and I guess that she's coming back and lined it out.
Which language are you referring to?
5 of 9. It would have been section, the old section 3-9, section 4 in there.
Yeah. Is it the section number has changed or the language changed?
No, but she deleted the entire 3.4, old 3.4.
Got it.
Do you have any memory of this?
Of the noise ordinance? Yes, I don't.
No, I don't remember that part of it.
Don't tell me out there. I don't remember the stuff and taking that part.
I'm trying to remember if this was keyed into this commercial provision where we can't limit any kind of commercial. Because remember we talked for a while about the racetrack? Which I think is why we put that language in there, trying to remove the noise of the racetrack from a commercial activity that we can't limit.
And then it looks like she added in selling of any horn or signal device on any automobile. That was in there before, right?
But what she's got in there has no bearing on 3.4.
Could we have a mechanism to get back to her to ask why that was taken out? It doesn't sound like it's something that this team can agree on.
Well, we had all decided that it needed to be in there for a reason. And this thing is really working on this over a year and a half. And I think the details are fuzzy. We put it in there for a reason. And I don't know.
Yeah, the question is why was it taken out? And it sounds like it was taken out by the lawyer, a new lawyer, and not by the team. So
she
might have a very good
look. Well, maybe if you take his part, Michael Shred the whole time.
The whole thing? We left the operation of him, took out that permitting the operation, which apparently is what she's saying. They leave it in knowing the permitting
language. I would say, following Rick's comment, that. I feel like a hand down largest complaint in the county is barking dogs. And I just don't see that this noise ordinance is going to stop that.
That's barking dog ain't got that.
I'm saying, you said striking that out, you know, why don't we throw the whole thing out? I feel like I felt all along that barking dogs are the biggest complaint in the county. And really feel like that's. I don't see how this is going to help us stop barking dogs. By the way, it has to be measured and times and things like that. It was a long time ago, but I know we were working on that permitting where you could get permits to violate the noise ordinance, and then that got thrown completely out. I guess my one concern is still. If there's ever an event that wants to, and I named examples, but you know, events that might want to occur in our county that want to have music and make noise for the betterment of the county and for the majority of the people, now we've made it where they can't do that now. So I kind of feel like it's not going to stop the one the largest complaint of noise in our county, which are barking dogs, but it is going to prohibit other things from happening in the county that could be good economically for the county. And I don't know how to fix that. I mean, I'm not saying we change anything. I don't know that this document is going to solve the issue that it's intended to solve.
Well, it's not going to stop the dogs from barking. The idea is that if you have the owner do something about it.
I mean, I think in the existing, you know, what has ever been, there's no provision for barking dogs. If I remember correctly, I could be totally wrong, but I think that's right. However, I totally agree with what you're saying as well, and I think we could, one, use clarification on why 3.4 was struck out. I'd like to understand that, so we can get clarification about that as one issue. And two, if that's really a concern about, you know, I agree, I think the dogs are probably the largest. What can we do to give this the teeth it needs? Now, I'm also with you, I don't know. I mean, we have added a lot of ability for law enforcement to make judgments. You know,
I can actually call Natalia. I just texted her and she said that we could call her with questions. Do you want me to go ahead and call
her? Yeah, we could clarify that now. That would be
absolutely.
I think I know the answer as I'm reading through the notes. I think it's because it ultimately could be covered in section 2 providing. Hi, Natalia. It's Jamie. How are you? Oh, I'm sorry. Doing very good. I'm sitting here with the planning board, and we are looking at the revisions to the noise ordinance, and I think I know the answer to the question at hand, but I want to make sure that I'm clear. We're looking at the noise ordinance. There was a section that talked about operating or permitting the operation of a vehicle that was struck through, and the comment said deleting the normally permitted language, and then references section 2, defining what is unlawful. And so, if I'm understanding your note correctly, basically that's saying that if someone were to be operating a vehicle in such a manner as to create unreasonably loud or disturbing noise, it would fall under the definitions of the decibel reading. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
And the same thing, there's a question about a barking dog. It sounds like that would also, you know, even though it's not listed as a specific noise is prohibited, or it is listed as a specific noise is prohibited, if the barking dog was creating those decibel levels during those time frames above the ambient noise level, then it would be a violation.
Correct.
Okay. Does that make sense?
This is starting to slowly come back to me.
Okay. So basically, in both, even though it's not listed as a quote prohibited noise, the fact that the noise still, you know, any noise would still be considered, as long as it's not on the exempted list, would still be subject to that noise level that's in section 2. So as long as it still met those definitions, but it's the ordinance is specifically saying, yes, we are going to include the barking dogs during these hours, or yes, we are going to include the other elements that are on that list, but the vehicle would still be a violation if it had that left that measure reading above the ambient noise level.
Yeah, that one you have
is,
you know, you're sort of accounting for anything that's going to be above
that answer the question to the board?
I couldn't answer. I didn't clearly hear what she said. I'm sorry.
Okay, so what she's saying is, sorry, but I'm going to hear you repeat you again.
I can't hear the other speaker.
Okay. what they wanted me to repeat what you said. So basically, in the situation of these two situations we just talked about, a barking dog, or in the situation of someone revving the motor over and over again, it would still be a violation if the noise level met those definitions under Section 2, where the law enforcement officer would go out and measure the reading above the ambient. So thinking about what this would look like in the field, if you were on a farm of 20 acres and you're in the middle of the farm revving your engine, you're probably not going to get that noise level reading, you know, off the property. But if you were in the case of a subdivision, where your lot's a half acre and you're repeatedly revving that engine, you could be in violation of the noise ordinance because there would be a reading, you know, from the neighbor that could exceed that decibel level. Same thing for the barking dog, although the barking dog would have to be here in the time constraints listed in the ordinance.
She's saying that even though these are not specifically mentioned, they still come under Section 2.
Yes.
Right. They're covered under the noise. It doesn't matter whether it's a dirt bike or a no control car or a scooter or, I mean, I think it's kind of saying we can't list everything. There's no point in listing everything. Once we put a noise decibel reading on it, it covered everything except sirens for emergency vehicles, except farm equipment, except those things that we do.
Is the decimal reading going to be accurate from working down?
I looked up the decibel level of the average parking dog, and it says it's 65 decibels, which is very close to the limit that you guys have set. So I think if the barking dog is annoying enough, and it doesn't happen to be above that 65 decibels, it's important that that gets filed.
Right.
So I thought that's why it would be filed.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's why we made this list, and we actually try to keep this additional noises list fairly short.
Right.
I don't remember exactly why we added in the vehicle, the 3.4, but I could totally see how dogs could be a hard one to really get a good reading on.
And dogs are still in there. They're just moved to
Section 2. Right. No, that's why I think it's good that dogs are in there.
Yeah, I agree.
And through the night, so between 9 p.m. and 6 a.m., the dog level above your noise level is 15 decibels above the
right.
So that's going to be different than during the day at that measure 65 decibels.
So remember, we had those people come in from up in the Topsaway area with the kill across the road on their campground, and they begin losing customers because the dogs were always raising the cane in the night.
So. Are you okay? I'm going to release Natalia since we've got the answer to that question, unless you've got something else for the attorney. Is that okay?
Okay.
Natalia, thank you so much for your assistance. No, you were very helpful. Thank you for that clarification. You have a lovely evening.
Okay, thank
you. So now you're saying that 4.1 and dogs and constrained animals and so forth, you're thinking that's going to cover what we're talking about.
Yes, yeah, so the language in Section 2 and Section 4 are sort of talking to each other. So in Section 4, it doesn't say that the following noises shall not be deemed to be exclusive, and other sources of unreasonably loud and disturbing noise are subject to the provisions of the ordinance. And how you determine if it's a violation is that decibel reading, which changes depending on the time of day. So it also changes whether it's sustained versus short bursts. So the offending noise level measurement exceeds ambient noise levels, or the total noise level. So really, the test for law enforcement is always going to come back to Section 2. As long as it's not on the exemption list. So then you do have this list of things that you are saying are prohibited, and you're giving a little more definition there, like the frequent, recurrent, constant language around the dogs, or the sounding of a horn or signal, and the radio television ring bar system.
Does law enforcement feel that the language around the dog is sufficient for them to do anything about dogs? I know you have the sheriff or the deputy sheriff in to discuss the noise ordinance. Do you remember a discussion specifically around the dogs and the language that's in there now?
Right.
I'm just going on Darlene's point about should we do anything with this document that handles the most frequent complaints.
Okay, looking at the clean copy, is everybody okay with section 4.1 about the dogs or not?
I'm okay.
I'm sorry?
I'm okay with it.
Okay.
I don't recall anyone from law enforcement saying, yes, this is the best that can be done to be able to enforce it, or this is not applicable to be able to enforce it. I don't remember a complaint from them. And they've been pretty upfront if they build things and then they didn't like it.
Okay.
And I don't think that law enforcement has an issue with it. I still just don't know how.
I think it's a little bit untested because they haven't had to do it before because there hasn't been an ordinance to cover it before. So in the past, there's been no ordinance that said anything about barking dogs. So it's a little bit untested. And they did come in with their, you know, meters, and we kind of set up some benchmarks. I wouldn't be surprised if some of that needs some fine-tuning, but that's a great question because I don't think they really know either.
But maybe we just need a stick in the ground or a stick in the mud,
right?
That you can move around and adjust their meters. If they need more juice, then they get adjusted.
We did talk about, you can't put every single thing in an ordinance. Some of it is just going to have to be modified or changed as needed through time in this ordinance when we see how this is going. Why? I do know that LA guys want something to hang your hat on them. When they go out, they want the ordinance back in
there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know how else to do this. Are you okay with the way it's written in the clean copy? Carol.
Around the dog?
Yeah.
Yeah.
John Wayne.
I am.
I'm okay with the dog part, but not with deleting those 3.4.
Say that again.
I'm okay with the dog part, but I'm not good with deleting those 3.4.
Lauren?
I'm good with 3.1.
Bob?
Or 4.1.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Okay. So we're through with that. Now let's go down to, in the markup copy, what was originally under section 4, what was 3.4 about operating, permitting automobile works off of blah, blah, blah. What are we going to do about that?
She
took it out.
Yeah, what's your problem with it, Rick? With
the neighbor? Neighbor?
What do you mean, neighbor?
That I had?
I mean.
And there's nothing that they can be charged with right now because it's a private road. And chapter 20 doesn't apply on private road. Yeah, and I don't remember us saying that's what we wanted to do or having any discussion about.
I'm not familiar with what chapter 20 is.
That's motor vehicle law. It's going to apply on the highway public street and prohibit all of that on the highway public street.
Well, if they're in the county, and it is over a certain noise decibel.
But that does not mean, well, right now, you don't know what the decibel levels are because we have no way to know.
Right.
We're talking about decibel levels that I have no idea what they are.
Right.
Other than I looked up on a computer, 22 rockets, 127 decibels. You know. I don't know that the decibel number we got up in the section 2 will take care of it. Because I don't know what that number amounts to.
And Rick, are you saying that these guys, your neighbors, are on a private road making all this noise?
No,
not necessarily on their property.
It's a subdivision road. It's a private road.
Is it their road or is it
just like not necessarily the loudness, it's the continuation to inflict the spinning tires and sliding around and all like that. And that covers all of that in there.
See, this ordinance was designed.
Even what you said, she says that that would be called
a decibel.
Right, it can still be a violation if it met the decibel test.
Yeah.
You can also, I mean, the board has the option if you wanted to add it back in. You know, the attorney still can, you know, is consulted by the board commissioners. So if there's a specific legal reason that she's advising to bring it out, we can also include that when it goes to the board commissioners.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm sitting with the door open in my house, and some distance away, it's two days this week, some guy was revving up, running, reaching to a halt, revving back up, coming obviously back the other way. If he'd done that a lot of times, it would have been annoying, no question about it. And there was people a lot closer to him than I was.
And ultimately, even if you leave it in, you'll still have to meet that decibel test. Because the way it's written, that's what tells the law enforcement officer whether or not it crosses over that unreasonable.
Right. That was my understanding. That's what I was getting at. I mean, Rick, what you're saying is you want this written in there as specific an automobile or motorcycle.
Right. You know how they look out for one, how the dogs or other constrained out by frequent return or constant, yada, 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 and cause an unreasonably loud or disturbing noise. If it read something like that to include all of these, I'd be okay with that.
But the only way to determine that it's an unreasonably loud or disturbing noise is by the...
Not necessarily. If it aggravates the absolute pound out of a neighborhood,
that's
unreasonable and disturbing.
That's right? The whole reason for having the decibel reading is to take that interpretation out of it. Then what's annoying to you might not be annoying to him. Might be annoying to me, but might not be annoying to Bob. That's the reason for the decibel rating. Right. To take a personal interpretation out of it.
Right? I don't think it needs to stay in there.
I suspect that just about anybody would be annoyed by a continuation of these types of things.
Right. And if it's loud enough, then they would be in violation. If it's not loud enough, then it's under that violating sound.
Legislating it as you know, whether it's annoying or even legislating the term unreasonable is part of the problem with existing noise ordinance. So that measurement of decibel becomes critical. And so even if it is on the list, it has to meet that decibel reading.
That's where we're running into, I would think, a hard case for the court to pursue and for the law enforcement to have teeth if we say an unreasonable noise or an annoying noise. I mean, that's an interpretation thing. I think that's why we use the decimal. I mean, it would be like in your line of work, if the law said you catch too many fish, well, what's too many? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why they use a specific number.
John, I'm not arguing here. You preach it to the choir. I'm simply saying that needs to stay in there. Because it gives specific examples of things that need to be looked at.
Can we ask the attorney a moment to look at that and perhaps rewrite it so that it is okay to say it in there?
I can certainly go back and get more clarity there and see if there's a way to include the same kind of activities under her recommendation. That'd be fine.
Can we do it with that?
Now, Kim, if we decide to leave that in there, it's still going to come back to the decimal level, whether the struck out 3.4 is in or not. It's still going to come back to a number decimal level. So if it's not going to hurt to leave it in there, that, like John Wayne said, that gives examples of things that might be in one instance of people in this ordinance, but it will still have to be measured by decimal. So that being the case, I'd
Well, another thing too is that, of course, the decibels are going to depend on how close you are to some extent. You measure the decibels at his house, and I'm further away, the decibels aren't going to be the same.
What was that term we used about?
He may not be able to deny it really if it goes on and on and on.
And that it says in here at the point where the complaint is made. So I complain that when I'm eating supper at night, so that's.
Okay, my suggestion is ask Jamie that we have his attorney take another look at this and propose language. Keep it in there that you think you can live with.
Okay.
Is everybody comfortable with that?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I'm saying,
EMT,
yeah, that very much in the office for you.
It talks about the dogs, and it talks about a frequent, recurrent, or constant number of things. Otherwise, called unreasonably loud and disturbing noises. And you go back to the definition in the front, you can make a case where it talks about definition, and where she's deleted the definition of unreasonably loud and disturbing noise.
Right.
And the reason for that deleted definition.
And put it back then and disturb, put in disturbing.
It's deleted because if you're going to a decimal reading. And decimal reading is what's demarking unreasonably loud.
I think we need to eliminate any room for interpretation. Because if there's room for interpretation, there's room for an attorney to interpret it differently and get a violator off of a violation if it's more cut and dry and simple and it's the decimal readings and the time. It doesn't matter whether it's a dirt bike, a remote control car,
a dog,
a cat, it just doesn't matter what it is.
That's some cattle, that's true.
My wife worked at the Carnivore Preservation Trust, and fortunately, I don't think there are any fighters here, but those things can be left.
You know, that's why it was in there.
So are you all happy to have the attorney get one more crack at it?
This is good.
Yeah, let's get it right.
This is good.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I'll do that and we'll put it on your agenda for your next meeting.
Anybody have anything else in this ordinance? That you want to spend more time.
I don't
know.
Okay. I just think that I know this is my first meeting, but I acknowledge how much work has gone into this noise ordinance by this team. I just want to acknowledge that. Just reading back over the last, I already did a last year of your meeting house, but it's been, I know it's been a lot of work on this noise ordinance, so I think it's stronger. The only thing I wanted to say was I guess we're going to have to adjust it again once the law enforcement folks get a chance to use it. Right.
I would bet you we'll have to deal with it again after it goes to the commissioners and comes back.
Yeah. I know this is your first look at this thing. You've struggled with this for over a year.
Oh, I know. That's
what
I was saying. I just
want to
acknowledge how much work has gone into this. It's
impressive. You okay
with that approach,
gentlemen?
Sure. Yes?
Sure.
Sure.
Oh, I am.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm fine. Go ahead. Move on.
You don't want to go back to the attorney and let them do the right to that part.
I'm saying I'm fine with doing it. But whatever the board tells me, because I'm good with it. I'm going to go along with it and lend it to the board.
Yes.
Are you happy with that approach?
Yeah, that approach is good.
Going back to the attorney
one more time.
One more time.
Well, absolutely. You're right. So I guess that's what
we'll do. We will handle that for you. We appreciate it.
See if you can rewrite that part about the vehicles and carrying on to be okay and include it back in the ordinance. Anything else? Okay. Alright, before we get to the next thing, I've got to do this up front too. Everybody review what everybody got this sheet with the members, addresses, and all that. Hopefully, in your packet.
Yes.
Well, anyway, what I want you to do is review your information and be sure it's correct. And if it's not, Beth, I no longer have post office box 207.
Okay.
That needs to come out.
Okay.
And everybody should help that. You want to send anything, don't send it to PO Box 207.
I just asked one time about a county email, just so a whole lot of company emails and then a lot of junk emails, and it would be really nice if I felt if it was a lot easier to just keep all of this county type stuff in one place. I would love to have a county email that I can open up. I can let citizens know if they have questions about stuff, and it's easy to just go back and track and find.
And you do have one.
I do have
one. I copy it every time I send packages.
Yeah, they set it up last year. I don't know if it was before you or not.
It was after. Because he's asked for it. I'll send you another update.
Okay.
On how to log in.
Okay.
Yeah.
How to log in. Perfect. Well, thanks. Yeah, I remember asking about that. And I guess I didn't realize that it was done. Okay, thank you.
So is that a personal company email address, or is that a county email address for the team?
It's a personal one.
Sorry.
And I haven't had one set up for you yet, Karen.
Oh, you haven't?
Yeah.
This is so hard. This is not fun. But I think you can't read my lips. I asked if it was a personal email address, county email address, or a county email address for the team. And Beth said we have a personal county email address.
Right.
And we'll need to remember with those county email addresses, remember that all of that material is public record, and we do prefer to use your county email versus your personal, which is why we copy everything there. If we were into a legal situation, we wouldn't want to have to grab all of your personal emails you're working on.
Anybody else have any comments on this? Mark?
Yes, Bob.
What did you say about your personal address? Something we need to change on that?
Say that again.
A PO box on your personal email?
I don't ever have that. I have niche and postal services.
I mean, I'm going to mark that up another.
But the mail can go to 351 window.
Okay, just making sure.
Back to the back to that. Next, we have floodplain ordinance review.
Kimmy, do you want to use a headset? Do you want to use a headset tonight since you're all on mics?
Say that again.
Do you want to use a headset?
Well, yeah, I could.
See if that works since everybody should have a mic.
Thank you,
Dave.
You look really
high tech now. Yeah. Now if I have my ponytail.
That's all you need.
Oh, man.
You're all upset.
This is going to be a
real problem.
If I don't get a haircut, I probably will have one. All right. Thank you. Okay,
you're down to the floodplain ordinance review.
And we have to do a modification to remove that off the agenda.
Okay.
So we're actually going on to 2020 census.
All right. But before we do that, let me ask you a question, Jamie.
Sure.
Now, is the planning board, in other words, if the oversight of the Tennessee County floodplain ordinance goes back to building inspections or whatever their new name is, does that mean the planning board will not be reviewing that ordinance?
That's correct, and that's actually in the history. The planning board did not have any jurisdiction over that ordinance. It is directly under the board of commissioners, and the implementation is up to the county manager under that ordinance.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you the truth, I'm kind of glad I read through this thing. I think it was on page 4, and I realized I was still reading the definitions. And it actually goes on to part of page 6.
I agree. It took us, it's taken us a year and a half, and we still have the noise ordinance right. I would hate to see what it would take us to do on our own.
Oh, we can do it.
Oh, we can do it. We'd go granddaughter would probably be on this board by the time.
By the time we got to that floodplain, there would be $100 general thing in county by the time we got there.
Okay. All right, 2020 census. Has everybody turned in their census?
Yes.
I haven't received one. They want me to fill mine out and send me one.
And just so the board knows, we are encouraging all of our boards to make sure you reach out to your family and friends and remind them to fill out the census. It does result in federal tax dollars that our citizens do pay coming back into the county, depending on what our numbers come back reflecting as far as population. A great example of that has to do with the COVID-19 funding that came from federal government into states. The population, the full-time population, was used in order to determine what counties received in order to purchase additional supplies. So it's very important that everyone is counted. If you don't receive something at your home or have it up to this point, you can go online to the census.gov and sit and fill out your information. They'll also be continuing to send out mailers, and starting, I believe it's next week, they will have people coming door to door, and they will be leaving you materials on your doorknob. Most folks tend to not want to have somebody come knocking on the door, so we're encouraging everyone. There's an 800 number. You can also go online, but it's very important that everyone is counted. Traditionally, we do see undercounting with preschool-age children. People forget to add them onto their list. And so there's also other populations. Minorities are typically undercounted. And this year, we're very concerned about our elderly that may be staying home because of COVID. We want to make sure that they get counted as well. So reach out to those that around you and just make sure that they understand. As a community, the better response we have in our population, it does impact funding that comes from federal and state, and that impacts our ability to support education, roads, a whole host of different issues, but you're likely even COVID-19.
Okay, I got mine online, and I mean, did mine back online. Mine was very short. Didn't have to be hard to meet. Okay. Anybody else have any comments on the census? All righty. The annual report. The planning board has to give to the county commissioners, and if you see on that up there, it is due by the end of May. In your packet, you've got a report. Anybody want to add anything to it, or strike anything off, or
I guess we need to strike the review of the floodplain on it.
Yes. Very last thing. recapturing. We need it and spend more time. Any other changes? Okay, public and board member comments, no public. I want to tell you all about, I don't know, we had a meeting, you may remember, with the Transportation Committee, and it was kind of an eye-opener to me. I did not realize how some of that stuff went. There was a follow-up meeting that was held about 2 weeks later, and it had more information on the cost and that sort of thing, the estimates. I don't know which meeting it is. I asked the state people what was the possibility of us getting any or one of those projects, and she said we might get one. And there must have been 15, I don't know how many things that were listed there. The first two things on the report I do remember is basically rebuilding a national highway from Kmart to Carolina, including median strip, and of course, four lanes and turn lanes of Little Mountain and all that. And I looked at the figures, and as best I recall, if I added these two projects, if I added them together, it was $150. I think a lot of people are sitting there to this thing. So I don't know how that's going to go. You all may not be aware of the statement that they've actually stopped construction. As I understand it, they didn't make a contract. So I don't know if the potholes are going to be fixed or not. But that is very interesting. The number of projects in this county, and some continuing the process of stretching out 64 up the mountain. Several others have. I'm still thinking about building a bypass in the water. Built some road on and on and on. So you can see, I wasn't holding my breath waiting for any state construction of roads. Bob.
Now, I just wanted to say tonight I had a presentation for y'all on the floodplain. But apparently it's become a moot point. Since this is going to be an ordinance, Jamie, that this planning board, we're going to look at all the other ordinances we don't look at that.
You don't look at all the ordinances. You do look at those under the planning scope. The floodplain ordinance originated by the board of commissioners, and that is not under planning. So the planning statutes do require that things come before the planning board, and specifically, you will be seeing the Cedar Mountain area plan coming up. There are numerous checkpoints for the small area plan process that involve the planning board, and you will be making recommendations of those checkpoints. In the end, if the plan turns into an amendment to the zoning map or the zoning ordinance, then of course that ordinance and state law does require the planning board have recommendation there.
Are they going to meet next week? You know?
The board, yes, the board of commissioners meets on Tuesday evening.
Cedar Plan.
Cedar Mountain Area Plan is not meeting. We're actually going to meet with the chair and the vice chair tomorrow to talk about where they're at in the process and chart out where they need to go. And so there's more information coming on that. This board, of course, will be very involved in that small area plan process. And the other thing that will be coming up before you know it is a comprehensive plan for Galt County. And that will be work to be undertaken by our board.
I had a presentation for y'all because I talked with Jamie and Alan already about it. But I personally feel that there are segments of our current ordinance whether it's based under FEMA, federal rules or not, they're being overlooked. And that's why I wanted to make that presentation tonight. But whenever you go under a federal ordinance like that, you're playing by their rules.
That's right.
The thing about it is, people in the community and the folks who live on the river, upstream and downstream, are the ones that see what those rules are and start sitting down. And Katie and I talked from this point that I wouldn't be able to make that presentation tonight because I believe we're missing the point of some of our ordinance. And I wouldn't say that if I didn't know the Prince Charles River. I've worked on that river 28 years and I knew the flooding. And I know what the rules in the flood insurance rates, maps, and all that say. That is a canned, generalized document. It is not county-specific to our issues. And that's why I wanted to have a part in that. We're not going to have anything to do with that, so nothing else left to say.
Okay.
We will take your comments to the board, Bob.
All of them on the board were there when I was still working in the county, saying they didn't know what I did. I didn't know what I know. And I'm not sending information to them that is incorrect.
Well, like I said, we will share that with them. We're happy to help you have input there and move that forward.
Appreciate it.
Want to say welcome to Karen to the board.
Thank you.
Welcome to the new and shuffled staff. You guys are awesome. I'm excited to work with all you guys. And it's great to see everyone again. Except for Beecher. I don't know what happened to him, man. But yeah. And that's it for me.
Good to be here. I'd just like to say thank you to Kimpton and Laura for agreeing to serve as our chairing vice chair.
Absolutely.
Welcome to you and staff, and thank you all for the work you do every day.
I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, same thing. This seems to add some normalcy back to life to be back in here and feel like we're contributing to our community. So feel good to do that and welcome. Excited to have your input and questions and check the balances in this meeting.
Right, so I am a question asker, just to warn everybody. I will ask lots of questions and I have opinions as well, which I'm willing to share. Well, I'm happy to be here. I do actually have one question about the scenic corridor designation order. Is that under the jurisdiction of this planning group?
That is something that has been sent to the planning board for review before. The scenic corridor designation just designates what corridor to consider scenic. And then the ordinances, like right now, all the design ordinance references that. If it references a scenic corridor, then that resolution adopted by the board of commissioners is the list of what that means. So the regulatory piece is only in the sign ordinance. But if you were in future modifications to make a change to any of the planning regulations, like the zoning map or the zoning regulations, and you reference the unit corridor, it would go back to that resolution that the Board of Commissioners had adopted that said these are the scenic corridors.
Okay. So right now, the only enforceable thing that's out there is around the sign ordinance that comes back to that,
those
corridors.
Yes, and those corridors are adopted and designated by resolution of the board.
Yep. Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'll say one last thing. Welcome, Karen. It's glad. It's good to be back and see people and interact. And hopefully you will ask questions and express opinions about my process, what we need. With that, do you have anything?
Nothing, just great to see you guys.
Thank you.
Do you let Darby and Ben play?
They usually look at me and go,
that's the truth.
Okay, with that, would entertain your motion to adjourn.
So
moved. Do I get a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye.
Aye. Hey, well. I think I'm going to get more. I think I'm going to do this.
My glasses
fall out. That's why I'm going to hold it.